death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. How great the chasm, how great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I looked to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine? Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, it's a hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, Jesus, yours is the victory. We praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Yes, you are, Jesus Christ, my living hope. You are, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Thank you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for making us your church. From all walks of life, from every corner of the world. Thank you, Lord, for lifting us out of the pit, for crowning us with your love. Thank you, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. And I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. And all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. Yes, you are, Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, you are, Lord. You are worthy of it all. Now and forever, Lord. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. I know you deserve the glory. All the saints and angels, and all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. Crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. Yes, you are, Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Yeah. worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Singing day and night, night and day, let it sing so day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, though you are worthy of it all. Yes, you are, Lord. You are worthy of it all. There's no one like you, Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Right here we sing, you are worthy of it all. Jesus, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve the glory. There's no one like you, Lord. You deserve the glory. Oh, and I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh, Lord, I exalt thee, oh. Praise, Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, worthy, Lord. There's no one like you, Jesus. We worship you this morning. We lift you high, high above the heavens. We look at you and see you're exalted high above it all. You have the name that's above all names. You're the King that's above all kings. You're the Lord that's above all lords. And there's no one like you, Lord. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Lord, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy, Lord. This morning, we bring you our own song this morning. Oh, oh, we worship you in our own words, with our own heart. We give you all the glory, Lord. Yeah, we make melody in our heart to you, Lord. We sing in the spirit. We sing with our understanding. We lift our hearts. We lift our eyes in praise to you. Ooh, ooh, there's no one like you, Lord. Sound, the beautiful sound of the people of God pouring out their hearts to the Lord, worshiping in spirit and in truth. There's no sound like this sound. Oh, oh, yeah, oh. Back around the turn of the century, when they would have these tent revivals outside, there was an unbelieving news reporter who went to go and see what was happening. And he went there and he wrote about it. And it was published in the newspaper, and he said it was remarkable. He said the singing of the people would be like the waves of the sea. It would rise and fall with no one leading. And it was this chorus of, he didn't know how to describe it because he wasn't a believer, but he was shocked, and he was like, there was someone leading them, but no one was leading them. And it was the Holy Spirit. And that to me is the highest place. Like all of us singing our own song to the Lord and being connected to Him in spirit and in truth and being led by the Spirit. You know, because that's what He calls us to be, led by the Spirit as children of God. And I was thinking of that verse too, and when Paul talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there's three things he puts out there. Those hymns are the old songs that we sing. The songs and the psalms, you know, we sing from the Bible, but we also sing our spiritual song and maybe make melody in our hearts to the Lord. So those are wherever you find yourself on the spectrum. If you're like, you know, I just want to make melody, you know, I don't want to sing any words, that's fine. Just lift up your voice. But that's where we're going. That's where the church is going. And I'm so excited about it, where I can stop playing and the Holy Spirit takes over and we just become like a symphony directed by Him. That's the goal. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this one again. Then we'll just take some time and go to that place of singing again. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy, Lord. Worthy, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. Jesus, you're glorious. Oh, you're the bright and morning star. You're the Prince of Peace, the great I am, the living one. You were dead, but now you're alive forevermore. Jesus Christ, we adore you. Jesus Christ, we worship you here in this place with this family. Oh, we lift our voice. There's no one like you, Lord. Yeah. There's no one like you, Lord. Mountains break forth in song, that the trees clap their hands. Let the hills break forth in gladness to you, Jesus. Ooh. 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 I want to teach us a new song. So this one, we wrote, my wife and I wrote about, how many days ago? 3 days ago. So this is hot out of the oven, if that makes sense. it was born, at least the chorus, was born out of the verses where Mary... they come to the tomb, and they find the tomb. Their heart broken, and they go to the tomb, and they find it empty. But then they see these two beings standing there in white, the angel of the Lord. And he said, you know, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, like he said. And we were singing around that, and it's so powerful. Like when you read those verses, and that's the center point of our faith. If there's no resurrection of the dead, what are we doing? But Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and because of that, all who believe in him get that same honor and privilege of being raised from the dead one day like him and living forever. That's amazing. That's our living hope. Like that first song we sang, that is our living hope. And so... the truth really struck us as we were singing that and meditating on it. And the other day, it was a couple of days ago, we were sitting on the couch, and I was going to go do something, hang out, but I just decided to stay. And so I was sitting there, and she was just praying. She was like, Lord, just give David the verses. And we had talked about kind of what it could say. And I was like, I don't want to make this into some big, into a... You know when you try to write a song, you try to be creative, and it falls flat. I was like, Lord, let this be kind of just your inspiration. And as it started to flow, we both would just get chills, and we're just like, thank you, Lord. You know, you've entrusted us with this song. And so this is now the second place. So we played it in Ridgecrest just like last night, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is the second place we've ever sang it, because it just was 3 days ago, so... But yeah, it's pretty easy. When you learn it, you can sing along too. So it's the He is not here.
And all the ones before who saw your face.
and all of us today who live by faith. We hear the words of heaven in this place. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And the veil was torn, the stone was rolled away. And the darkness broke into the light of day. And we tremble as we hear the angels say that the one you seek is risen like he said. He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. All the ones before who saw your face, and all of us today who live by faith. Oh, we hear the words of heaven in this place. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And the veil was torn, the stone was rolled away. And the darkness broke into the light of day. Oh, and we tremble as we hear the angels say that the one you seek is risen like he said. He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. Not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. So sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. Sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. Oh, sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. 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 He is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. Is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a crown upon his head. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you conquered death. and you hold the keys of death and hell. Thank you, Jesus. And all our hope and all our strength and all our life is in you. It's in you today. So we sing hallelujah. The Lion of Judah has overcome. Sing hallelujah. The Lion of Judah has overcome. Sing hallelujah. The Lion of Judah has overcome. Sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. Yeah. Sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. Sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. Yeah. Sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. Sing hallelujah, the Lion of Judah has overcome. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again, and you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. But yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. That your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. 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 Yes, you are, Lord. Jesus, you're beautiful. More than we could ever know. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Yes, you are, Lord. Jesus, you're beautiful. Yes, you are, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're beautiful. Yes, you are. Oh, Jesus, you're beautiful. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. You're going to get the glory, Lord. You're going to get the glory. Thank you, Lord. You're going to get it in your church. You're going to get it in the world. All will see. You're going to get the glory, Lord. You are. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just lift up a big shout to Jesus. Come on. So good. Thank you, guys. Why don't you, let's just take about 30 seconds and greet somebody next to you. That was just so beautiful. I was getting rocked in the Lord. Just greet somebody next to you. Tell them you're happy to see him. We're going to get going here in just a second. All right, let's grab a seat. Hallelujah. So good, so good. Were you blessed this morning? That was beautiful. So beautiful. I've got a couple quick announcements, and then we're just going to get into this. Hey, Sarah. It's Sarah's birthday, I'm pretty sure. Can we all just sing happy birthday to Sarah? I like to put people on the spot. On the count of three, we're going to sing happy birthday. One, two, three. We love you. You're awesome. Hey, Ron Graves, just a couple announcements. We're going to get right back into this. So good. But we love Ron, and we love the Mexico ministry. We love what the Lord's doing there, and he's just going to give us an update.
Okay, guys, thank you. For you that don't know me, I'm Ron Graves. I'm director of our Mexico ministry. We've been going down to Mexico for 36 years. This church has been involved for about 30. We're leaving Friday to go to Mexico. There's 10 of us from here, and we're going to do our annual Christmas luncheon down there. 2 years ago, we fed 250 people. We just bought 200 blankets. We have blankets. We have hats, beanies, scarves for the families. We have some small gifts for the kids. The school here, Cali Christian Co-op, got together, and they did a bunch of service activities for different people and stuff, and they raised some funds, and they donated some of that to Mexico ministry. So the kids adopted a family down there, his wife, and their three kids. And Susan Jensen, who's right here, stand up, Susan. She is my assistant, giving me some help now because I need a lot of help. And she got the gifts for the family down there. And the kids adopted 17 young children down there. Frank and Deborah do English and Bible class every Saturday. The kids come half hour for English, half hour for Bible, and that's done in English also as much as possible. So the school adopted those 17 kids, and Deborah went out shopping, and each one of the kids got a gift. So it's just, I mean, I need to thank all you guys for the 30 years that you supported To Mexico with Love. A lot of you have been down there. A lot of you haven't. We'll probably be going down February or March again. Think about maybe coming with us. But it's just a blessing. And the number one thing, Lord is working through us, and we want the people down there to have what we have, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing. I mean, all the other stuff is cool and good, but to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's number one. So anyway, thank you guys. Anybody wants to talk to me after service about the trip or anything, I'd be more than happy to talk to them. But anyway, thank you guys again. Thank you everybody that has donated, and thank you everybody. And really what we would like is your prayers. There's 10 of us from this area going down. There's 5 from Fernley, Nevada going down. There's 2 people from Oregon, 2 people from Phoenix, and a couple people from Bakersfield. So we're drawing people all over. So anyway, thank you guys. You want to pray for us?
Yeah. Why don't you extend your hands? Let's pray for this team. Father, we just thank you so much. I thank you for Ron Graves. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift that he has been to the body of Christ and to the nation of Mexico. And God, we ask for grace on this trip. We ask for your presence, your anointing. Lord, I ask for words of knowledge in each team member. God, I ask for the prophetic to be stirred up in them. I ask for signs, wonders, and miracles, salvations in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that these kids would encounter the true and the living God. Father, I pray every little orphan, God, let their hearts just be totally healed in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that this trip will be filled with the supernatural presence of Jesus. And I just pray for unity upon the team. Unity in Jesus' name. For the different ones, there's different ones coming from all parts, and some don't know each other. I just pray for unity. I pray that they would work well together in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
One quick thing. Saturday, we're going to do our community luncheon, and Sunday we're going out to the Tecate Tijuana landfill, the dump, and we're going to be out there and help those people.
Amen. Come on. Joe Mulligan, you got an announcement.
Yeah, Joe.
Joe. So good to have Tom, Steve, Randy. Love you guys. Bruce, I know, haven't seen him since 1999 at the Lighthouse. God bless you. So good to have you. Amazing.
Morning, everyone. Everyone here heard of at least or liked The Chosen, this TV show? Do you know that they're doing a Christmas special? It's about the birth of Christ. I just found out that the Bishop Twin Theater is going to be showing it. This coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday 6 p.m., Saturday 3 and 6, and then Sunday 3 and 6. I talked to Holly, the owner of the theater. She said that if you go through the Chosen's website, you get tickets easier, but I just tried and I couldn't. So go to bishoptwintheater.com, go to Showtimes and scroll down and you'll find the Chosen. You can get your tickets that way. So.
Yeah. Thank you. So good. Awesome. Well, today how many loved this morning the worship? It was beautiful. I just love David Brimer and his wife Sahar so much. I met them, and my wife Heather and I, we just instantly fell in love with you guys. They're the real deal. They're just super authentic and just carry a fresh sound. In the body of Christ right now, there's a lot of sounds that are so similar, and there's a lot of sounds that are gonging. But I just love, my spirit comes alive when I get around people that are really authentic and walk humbly before the Lord and have a real sound. And so I'm just really, I just want to honor both of you so much and for coming up here and just serving us. He's led for thousands of people all over the world, and you've seen the videos I posted, you know, him and IHOP. There's thousands of people, and they're worshiping. And now he's with us in Crowley Lake. So praise God. And he's going to be with us again at our second service in Bishop, 4 p.m. They're going to be leading worship and sharing again. So I encourage you, come. Tell somebody to come. It's going to be a great blessing. But we just want to sow into their life and into their ministry and just want to give you opportunity to do that. And so Jay and Richard, if you could pass those out. If you want to tithe or if you want to sow into Church of the Mountain, we have the tithe boxes in the back. And I encourage you to do that because Church of the Mountain is going places. Amen. And it takes finances to move the ship. But right now in these buckets, we want to bless the Brimers. And so I encourage you just to sow into them. If you're writing a check, make it to Church of the Mountain. And then in the memo, just put David Brimer. Hallelujah. Everybody good?
Yep.
And then one last thing. December 19th is a Sunday. And we will be doing some Christmassy stuff here that morning. But we're going to have more of a kind of a Christmas fun service. We'll have some hot chocolate, do all Christmas songs, have some goodies and all that fun stuff on the afternoon service. And so we're going to dedicate that time to that. So I encourage you to come 4 p.m. December 19th. And without further ado, I just want to welcome up our friends, David and Sahar.
Pleasure. I love you too. Thanks. Well, my wife will keep her post right now, but at some point I think she might come up and share just a little bit of our journey from her perspective, but then also just kind of more present tense things the Lord's been speaking to us. So, Yeah, it's an honor to be with you guys. I'm very thankful to be here. Likewise, when we met you guys, we felt just a special love and a special connection for you and your family, but as well for this church community. It's just really sweet. Wouldn't you say, babe? Yeah, for sure. 100%, she said. Yeah, and there's just an abiding presence of the Lord that I feel here. And there's a sweet sense of family and just an earnestness to follow the Lord and just to press into the now thing the Lord is doing. And that's rare in these days. And the Lord looks for that. So I just want to acknowledge that and speak that blessing over you. So the Lord sees you and he knows you. And there's something, he will answer the cry of your heart, your corporate cry of your heart. He will answer. So may it be done according to his word. Amen. Well, I kind of approach any kind of speaking similarly as I do worship leading, which is flying by the seat of my pants. And in the past, when I've labored hours and hours over song lists and all this stuff and writing chord charts and everything, which I do, lots of times the day before I'll get to this, I'm like, I hate this whole song list. I don't even want to do that. And so just do something different. So now I've learned, and now I delegate my song list writing to my wife, which is wonderful. She's become my manager in my, no, but we do it together. But I'm like, hey babe, what songs are you feeling? And she'll just line them up without all of the headache that I find myself in. And then I'm just like, oh, that's amazing. That's so great. So now we're even more of a team than we ever were. So even in this, so yes, it's fun. And it was, and, you know, writing, obviously that song came a few days ago. That was just, yeah, and that, we, in the writing process too, we just felt the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you just wonder, is this just for us? Is this song for us? But Lord, as we sing it, I believe the Lord wants to do, release that. Because it's really, when it's his word, it's for all of us, you know? Yeah, and it's, so that excites me. So it was really exciting. Each last time and then this time when we did the song, it's just, it is amazing. It is amazing. Oh, and I want to acknowledge, is it Brother Ron? Yeah. Yes. I don't know why the Lord brought this back to mind when we were here last, the last trip we were here. I don't even know if I said it. I may or may not have. Yeah, my grandpa went to be with the Lord on the last trip that we made back in August here. And he was a missionary in Mexico for 65 years. My dad grew up on the mission field with him there. And so I'm the fruit of what your life is all about. And I know there's many things your life is about, but the way you're giving your heart to that nation and laboring in that nation, I just want to bless you, and I also want to just receive from that just that inheritance that you've walked in. And so, Lord, I just bless Brother Ron, his family, Lord, and just the whole community here as they're investing in the nation of Mexico. Lord, that there would be open doors by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that there would be the anointing of the Spirit as they preach the gospel, that he would see in his lifetime the fruit of his labor. But Lord, far beyond, Lord, I thank you that those seeds that are planted will grow up and bear good fruit. And Lord, that you are going to have an inheritance and you're going to build a bridge between this place and Mexico. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, well, one thing I know confidently is that you guys are going to be so blessed, and I'm going to be so blessed by this message. You're going to be so blessed, and I'm going to be so blessed by this message. How's that for self-confidence? So hard says, so humble. You are going to be so blessed, and you know why? Because we're going to read from Revelation 1. And in verse 3, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So if you have your Bible, pull it out. So blessed. Get my water. You know, I don't speak often in this capacity. A lot of times I'll do like mini sermonettes as I lead worship. But sometimes, it's a privilege to be able to speak in this way. In my life experience, I would say fewer times than more times have I heard the word being able to just speak for itself in the context of the church. A lot of times, you know, it's like what we think about it or the application or kind of like analyzation or commentary or even just kind of like, you know, even now a lot of days, a lot of messages I'm hearing are more in the self-help arena, which isn't bad. That's a necessary part of life. But I really believe that there's this hunger for God's word in his people. And it's just, it just comes down to reading it and listening to it and just sitting with it, you know, with the Lord. And so I'm just going to start that way. And just open up your heart. I just invite you to open up your heart to say, Lord, let your word bring light to my heart. Let your word open my eyes. Paul prayed for the church for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So those are two important things. Wisdom is obviously in the application of life, but revelation comes directly from the Lord. And that spirit wants to touch his church and open our eyes to the Lord. So Lord, I pray for myself, even as I read and as I share what you put on my heart, that would come upon me. But I pray for every single person listening and here right now, for this whole family, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come. And Lord, that our eyes and our understanding would be open to know and to experience you, Jesus, more. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything that he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here's the blessing. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Woo! That's me. David Brimer. I am blessed. And blessed are all those who hear it. That's all of y'all. And take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. I'm going to read that again. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Can't you just feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit as you read this? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand upon me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Man, I feel at a loss for words when I read the word like this in the presence of his people, because this is the eternal word. This is the word that made me. This is the word that created all things. And yet God, like he told Paul, entrusted him to make known the mysteries of God, and to make known the mystery of the gospel. And with fear and trembling, we do this. We speak about the things of the Lord. We unpack the mystery of God, not because I have any special revelation or knowledge, but because I've been entrusted and anointed by the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, just like you have, to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to make known the mystery of the gospel. And this is all of our anointing under the Spirit of God. Those who've received the Spirit of God have received the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And so we make known the mystery of God as we read and as we talk about these things. And what the Lord put on my heart is to talk about and to look at the way Jesus is described. And I heard it once said, and it's the best way I've heard it say, every verse in Revelation is very expensive real estate. Anything could have been said in this book, if you think about it. But things were said, things were explained, things were revealed for a reason. Every word. And if you think about it, John is capturing this whole experience, real time, is writing down the words of this revelation that he had, an experience in the Spirit with the Lord. And he gets to the end of the book. And as a writer, probably you and I would have the same thought. And he's looking at his writing and his notes. He's like, oh, God, I got to change that. And I got to, people won't understand all that stuff. And the Holy Spirit, through the angel, says, those who change the words of this book will not have an inheritance in the kingdom of. And so he probably trembles. He's like, all right, Lord, I'm not going to touch this. It was very specific. The Lord wanted every word the way it was. For whatever reason, the Lord anointed these words. That's why we feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit when we read. Because the Lord has a blessing in it for His church. Can you bring up my voice just a little bit? Because I'm going to bring the microphone down. Thank you, brother. So I find it interesting that John turned around to see the voice in verse 12. I turned around to see the voice. This voice must have been so powerful. The voice itself, he was turning to see the voice. All he hears is the voice behind him. And he turns to see the voice. In that, he's describing the Lord as the voice. And that lines up with the rest of Scripture, doesn't it? He's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was God. He turns around to see the voice. And I believe often in our lives, the Lord wants to speak to us. But we're looking in a different direction. And we're looking this way, but the Lord's back here and He's speaking to us. And He will surprise us. And the Lord invites us to turn. Because a lot of times, and this happened with the nation of Israel, the Lord would speak, but they'd go their own way. They'd do their own thing. And I have the fear of the Lord as I share this, because I'm like, Lord, I want to follow Your voice. I want to respond to Your voice in my life. The application of this being, Lord, when You speak, me as Your servant, I want to be listening. Lord, when You speak, let me be quick to respond. So John turns around to see the voice speaking to him. And when he turns around, he sees seven golden lampstands. So the first thing he notices is I don't know, in my mind, reading this before, if it's been seven different candelabras or if it's one big one, you know, with the seven pronged, you know, it's a Jewish, you know, it's a menorah. There you go. Not the candelabra, the menorah. My bad. the menorah. And so he sees that. And then he sees a person standing among the lampstands. Which speaks to us that Jesus is standing in the midst of His church. Because later it says, the mystery of the golden lampstands is this. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. And there were seven churches that the Lord sent these letters to in that day. He had specific messages for seven churches. But we know through Scripture by understanding and reading that seven is the number of fullness or completion. And so when the Lord speaks to those seven churches, those messages were for them, but not only them. They were messages for us now. And in the same way the Lord was standing among them in those days, He is standing among us now. And there's a lampstand here in this church, because this is a church that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord has established a lampstand in this place. And the Lord stands among you as one like a Son of Man. And He wants to reveal Himself to you in these ways. In the same way He was revealed then, the Lord wants to reveal Himself now. He was described as one standing like a Son of Man. Now if you see, there's a little, in my version, there's a little B next to it. And it references Daniel 7:13. It's basically saying John, who knew the Scriptures, and probably Jesus who instructed him in the Scriptures. I mean, think about all the times he had to get to talk with Jesus, and Jesus would open up the Scriptures about Himself and all that. So John has this back knowledge of the Scripture. And when he writes this, he writes like a son of man intentionally because he's referencing Daniel's vision. And there was, Daniel saw, it says, the man like a son of man. And it describes him in a very similar way. And the first thing we see, he's dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and a golden sash around his chest. Now, I'm no expert, but what that represents to me is royalty. You know, it represents he is clothed in honor. He's clothed in royalty. There's a mantle of authority. The mantle of all mantles. We talk in the church a lot about, oh, I want a mantle. You know, I want this person's mantle, all that stuff. Jesus has the mantle of all mantles. The mantle from the Father. He went to the lowest place. And because of that, he was exalted to the highest place and given the name above all names, the mantle above all mantles. It rests upon his shoulder. What does it say? The government will rest upon his shoulders. Remember that? That robe reaching across is that governmental authority that he has. Down to his feet. It's a long one. And with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool. As white as snow. Man, to me that's such a fascinating picture, because when you look at something that's white, it's nothing, right? I mean, it's like white, when you look at a piece of white paper, it's just white. But when you see, it speaks of this holiness, this purity, this, his head was white like wool. So, as white as snow. And here he's trying to describe what he's seeing. So, the leadership, and a lot of times when we read in Scripture, describing the head of the Lord. You know, it describes him in Song of Solomon, as his hair is black like a raven. And it describes him, and each description has, what is it, meat in it for us, the understanding of his nature, his character, who he is, and they're all like these little doors that open up to us in the revelation of him. So his head and hair is white like wool. So his hair speaks of his leadership. I think we as the church must lean into the leadership of the Lord. Like, we don't know. We're like sheep. We're like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us turns to our own way. We're all doing our own thing. And the Lord has entrusted shepherds to his flock. Mike, you're a shepherd. You have a shepherd's heart. And y'all all testify. I said that and y'all are like, yes. It's very clear to see. And the shepherds that the Lord has entrusted, they're not shepherds unto themselves. They look to the chief shepherd, the head of the flock, the head of the church. And when you look at him, what do you see? Purity, holiness. He's completely different. And when I say that white, I was trying to describe it, but it's the holiness, the otherness of the Lord. When you look at it, it's like pure white. He was describing it pure, white as snow, white like wool. Like, these are all things that he could understand that in those days that were pure white. And so he was like, this is the best way I can describe it. But that's speaking of the Lord's ability to lead his church. And I believe we've lost that these days. There's been a movement to deconstruct and then but many don't reconstruct. Deconstruct our faith in light of cultural challenges and in light of the pressures of this age. And sometimes we have had bad theology that's influenced our belief system and all that. And so the heart, I believe there's a lot of genuine and necessary things we must, I would use the word detox is a good way. You know how sometimes you've been eating a whole lot of bad food and you just need a detox? So what do? You just kind of go on a fast, you drink lemon water, whatever you do, you drink juices, you detox, you cleanse your body. And that's a very necessary part for our human health. But when it comes to deconstructing our faith, there is one Lord and His name is Jesus. And He is the head of the church. And we must look to Him first for life, for wisdom, for theology, for understanding. And He's revealed Himself in this word. And so often it's looking to this leader, this pastor, this ministry for our life source. But the Lord is drawing His church back to Him alone. Amen. His eyes were like blazing fire. So they have this white, the first thing he sees, this holy, he can't even fully comprehend it. And through, piercing through, he sees his eyes that are like blazing fire. And the Lord describes himself back in the day with Moses as, I am an all-consuming fire. And you know, he says, eyes are the window to the soul. You all know that, right? Yeah, so what are we seeing? We're seeing his heart, his soul, the passion in his heart, his essence, who he is. He is an all-consuming fire. I believe it says, I can't remember if it's Isaiah or Ezekiel, where it says, who can dwell in everlasting burnings? Who can live in all-consuming fire? He's asking a rhetorical question. Who of us has the strength and the ability to live in the eternal presence of the Lord, the fire? We always say, more God, I want more of you. Lord, I want to experience more. That's a very necessary and important prayer. But what we're inviting is the fire, His essence that purifies and burns and it changes and transforms. I mean, we know in California, fire transforms landscapes. It brings disruption. It completely takes over. And He's an all-consuming fire. He's not a part-consuming fire. He's not just a fire that takes a little bit and just says, all right, Lord, that's good. You know, He's an all-consuming fire. And it's His love. His fire is His love. It's His love for His people. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Bronze is in the scripture speaks of judgment. So if you think about the promise that came to Adam, that the seed of Eve, that her son, that one day a seed would come that would crush the head of the serpent. Remember? His foot is on the head of the serpent. It speaks of the judgment when he walks. Think about that. The bronze feet of the Lord, wherever he walks, he brings judgment. He judges wickedness. He purifies the land everywhere he walks. His feet are like glowing bronze in a furnace. And that's an underrated topic in the church, is the Lord's, when the Lord returns, he will cleanse the land of all wickedness. Because he sees our heart and the things, we don't have the wisdom to judge like he does. We don't have the understanding. Even in the people we look to, the leaders we elect, all that stuff, we obviously love righteousness and hate wickedness. We want that in the land, but we don't see like the Lord sees. And when he comes, he sees with crystal clear eyes. He sees with those eyes of fire and he sees the hearts of men. We don't see the hearts of men and women, but he does. And he comes. And when he comes, he will judge the earth. And our hearts will rejoice when he comes to cleanse the land of wickedness and to establish righteousness. And it might look a little bit different than we think. And we got to be prepared for that. We don't know what his kingdom looks like. But isn't it the truth that our first and our greatest honor is to live for his kingdom and not the kingdoms of this world? We look to his kingdom. And that's got to be foundational in his church. Because so easy, it's just easy to lean into the quick fix now. But our goal is to say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no quick fix that'll fix the earth. We see that. It's Jesus come or we're all sunk. You know? It's like, Jesus, even so come. Or this, even so come. Now, you know, obviously I'm touching on different theological ideas. There's a good part of the church that believes the world will get better and better and better until the coming of Jesus. And then there's some that believe the world's going to get worse and worse and worse, and the Lord's just going to snatch us out at the last moment. And then there's all viewpoints in this. But again, I invite us to read these scriptures of Revelation, because there's two things happening at the great time. What is it? The great and the terrible day of the Lord. It's two things at once. And a lot of times we like to polarize, but the Lord's holding it in tension. The Lord's going to cause us to walk in great glory and power and love, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, while there's great darkness around. And in the great darkness, what he invites his church to arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord comes upon you. So I have no fatalistic worldview. Even as the darkness increases, I believe in the Lord's ability to redeem and empower his church. And one day to come and conquer what he's already conquered 2,000 years ago on the cross. Amen? Come on. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. You know, it's an interesting scientific fact that I found out. But in when you hear a wave crash, if you go to the ocean, who else has experienced the kind of calming effect by walking up to the ocean? Right? Okay, like all of it, pretty much. So you walk up to the ocean, you're just like, oh, it's just calming. Now, one of the scientific reasons for that is interesting. So in one wave, when a wave crashes, it carries in that wave the full gamut of the frequencies that the human ear can hear. Wow. It has everything from low, deep, deep bass all the way up to the high. And so when you are by the ocean, it cleanses your ear palate. Because I'm speaking at a certain frequency. If you listen to my voice, like, for, you know, a lot of time, you'd get annoyed by that frequency, you know. But when you get by the ocean, there's this complete frequency. And it's cool because it says the Lord's voice is like the sound of rushing waters. He speaks in all the frequencies. He speaks to us. His words cleanse. They wash our mind, they put it at rest, at peace, at calm, but it's also full of power, the sound of rushing water. So there's two things. It's the peace and the power in the voice of the Lord. And I'm just touching on what the Lord's shown me. And I hope this inspires you to go, Lord, I want to go deep in this, to meditate on this. Say, Lord, what does this mean for me? You know, what does this mean for my life? In his right hand he held his seven stars. So what's he holding there? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, it says later. So the Lord is holding in his hand the messages. So those angels are messengers. So he's holding messages for the church in his hand. He's holding what the church needs is in the hand of the Lord. And he wants to give it. His face was like the... out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. That's pretty self-explanatory. It's that the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts and it divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So when the Lord speaks, he cuts right to our heart. And there's the... So the rhema is the now word. Is it logos? Logos. So the logos, the difference between the two, is the written word of God. So that's this. But then when he makes it alive and you read it and it's like, you're reading my thoughts. You know what's going on in my life. That's the rhema. It's the fresh bread of heaven. So it's both. So it's a double-edged sword. Between spirit and soul. Spirit and truth. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. So first he sees it as white. Then his face shines like the sun. So it's like fire upon fire upon fire. He sees his eyes and notices them, but then his whole face is ablaze. You know, it's like he sees it in, he probably can't even fully comprehend it. He's seeing the face of the resurrected Lord for the first time. The man that he knew in the flesh. And that's why he falls at his feet as though dead. He doesn't even know what's happening, really. I mean, the Lord doesn't announce himself as, "Hey, I'm Jesus, I'm your bro." Like, we hung out, remember? No, it's like Jesus as the resurrected Lord is standing before him. But it's the same man, full of glory. Oh, you're beautiful, Lord. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said..." Now that's interesting. If I'm laying on my face as though dead, how am I going to know what hand he's putting on me? Isn't that funny? I've wondered that. I don't have an answer for it. Why does he say, how does he know he puts his right hand on him? Like if I'm like shaking on the ground, almost dead, like I'm not going to know if he puts his right or left hand on me. But that's interesting. Next time I come, maybe y'all can tell me why he did that. And he says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Whew. Man, there's so much in there. Do not be afraid. I mean, that's what the angel said to Mary. That's what the angel said to the girls when they resurrected. Like, don't be afraid. Man, that's the first message of the Lord to us all. Like all the time. Do not be afraid in these days when fear is rampant. You know? I mean, haven't you felt kind of a ramp up in fear in the culture, right? Yeah, we're just tensed up and full of fear, and the Lord says, "Do not be afraid." In the midst of it all, that's his word. Do not be afraid. We can't qualify it. We can't excuse it. Do not be afraid. That's the word of the Lord to us. Do not be afraid. "I am the first and the last. I am the living one." Man, that's so good. Isn't that good? He is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who's eternally alive. "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold..." I love how he brings that in there. I used to be dead. One time, long time ago, I used to be dead, but now I'm alive forever. He was alive, and he tasted death for us all. Like, that's amazing. You know, he's identifying with all of us in that. He's like, "I was dead. I know what it's like." Like, he's not untouchable. He tasted death for us all. But he came out victorious. And that's just not ethereal for us. That applies to our everyday. He's the living one. When we feel fear, we hold on to, "Lord, you are the living one. You're alive in me. You bring life to my mortal body. You're gonna one day resurrect me. So I'm going to be with you, like you. I'm going to have a new resurrected body. Probably won't have quite as much gray hair as I do, which would be great. It's a crown of glory. Okay, I take that. Amen. Say, "Oh, Jesus has white hair? Okay, maybe it'll all be gray like him." My wife is brilliant, actually. "And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Man. "Write therefore what you've seen and what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw on my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So this book is eternally for two things. For the now, it says, write what is now, what you've seen, what is now, and what will take place later. This is to, he's speaking to the church in the way that we focus. Because he is the ever-present one. What did he say back in the day? I am that I am. He says it there. I am. So we need to focus on the now and what is to come. Because I think a lot of times we get caught up thinking about the past, regret and in regret of the past. And so this is, okay. I don't know where it is in Revelation. But it describes the devil, Satan, as the one who was, who is not, but who is to come. Isn't that interesting? The one who was, who is not, but is yet to come. And how does he hold our attention? By regret in the past and fear in the future. And the Lord, who is the present one? He said, I am that I am. He is the ever-present one. So the devil, his power is in those two areas. Fear of the future, anxiety, regret of the past. And the Lord's blood is the thing that cuts it all through. And it's important that we obtain the power of his blood in our daily life. Because his blood delivered us from fear. Fear of the future, regret in the past, because he's washed us clean. It's true. It's true. This is our experience. It's true. And the destiny of the church is in his hand. The destiny of Church on the Mountain is in the hand of the Lord. And he is among the seven churches. He's among us. I just thought about what we were talking about earlier. Do you want to come up and maybe share a little bit about the way we've been having to, you know, deal with fear? And yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, maybe just kind of, you know, the thought process and how we come against that together, you know, and just kind of. And obviously your own process.
Sure. So yeah, David and I have been having this conversation. So yes, he has overcome. He has the key. He has all power in heaven and earth. But how do I walk in that? So a year and a half ago, when COVID started, we were living with David's parents, and his grandparents were living with us for like 4 months or so. And then I heard from a friend that her husband had the COVID, and I realized 10 days before that I was exposed. I had no symptom. I was doing great. But the moment I saw this text, all these thoughts came to my mind. What if his grandparents get it, and if I give it to them, I can't forgive myself for that. So fear started taking over me, and I started having symptoms, like all the symptoms in like 5 minutes. And I got sick about like 4-5 months, all these post-COVID symptoms. And the Lord was teaching me, like, every time that I took authority and I put my hand over my body and say, okay, he has not been giving me spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And I meditate on that until I saw the fruit of it on my body. Amen. The next day I started getting better. But every day I had these thoughts, what is this? What's my problem? Every time I had this thought process, I would get worse and worse. So he is like teaching me how to walk in that. And yeah, it's not a one-time thing. I'm like choosing that every day. Yeah. Even the last few days, I've had this weird phantom pain that is like comes in weird places for like 2 seconds. It goes away and has no reason. I'm not feeling sick at all. But I put my hand on it and say, okay, his perfect love heals. I receive it right now. And it goes away. Yeah. And when I feel fear, it gets worse. It's like spiritual war is so real. Yeah. It's just like, anyway, yeah, it's my experience. Sure.
Thank you, babe. Yeah. Hey, how about this? Maybe we can just, we can kind of end with that and just pray. Just over there. Yeah, come on up. This is something that we talked about yesterday. Just how, like we were at dinner last night, and I could tell her face, like, it was just kind of like this. And I asked her, I was like, babe, what's going on? She wouldn't tell me for a little bit. And she was like, I'm having a phantom pain. And I could just tell kind of anxiety was starting to come. And we're having a date. And I was like, all right, babe, you got to tell me. So then I take authority as her husband. And she just goes, all right, I'm taking authority. And it leaves. And that was one of the post-COVID symptoms she would have, is this like phantom pain. And I know that a lot of people deal with long COVID symptoms or whatever, where you maybe you can't taste, can't smell, or you know, whatever, various different things. But it's true. We realize that the whole world has been brought into a different consciousness through like a COVID consciousness. Yes. Every nation. And I'm like, that empowers this stupid disease. It really does. Because fear is very connected to weakening your immune system. That's a medical fact. When you have fear, it weakens your immune system. So, you know, it's kind of like this negative downward spiral. And the devil knows that. And obviously there are, thank God for the medical community and all that stuff. That doesn't abdicate us walking in faith in context with experiencing these kinds of symptoms. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to impart that spirit of faith. You want to pray?
We pray.
Okay, come here. We pray. Okay, well, we pray. All right, you start and I'll pray.
Okay. Jesus, thank you for all you have done for us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that all power in heaven and earth is yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for giving us authority.
Yes.
For making us children. Lord, we ask for grace that we will be able to walk in that authority every day.
Yes, God.
We put on the armor of God, Lord.
Yes.
And we'll receive everything that you have been given us.
Yes, God.
And we choose to walk in it. To walk with you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And knowing that you have all power in heaven and earth.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
All of it, not some of it, all
yes.
of it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And you have been giving that to us.
Yes.
So we receive it. We
yes,
praise
Lord.
You.
Praise
we
you.
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. The I Am, the Living One. Jesus, teach us to meditate on these characteristics of you throughout our day so that our thought processes change and we quickly go to you and we quickly, that we're quick to get out of anxiety and don't let it sit and fester in our heart and become embedded and rooted. And in the ways, Lord, that our hearts have gotten bound up and rooted in these belief systems that are faithless, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you break those by the power of your Spirit And Lord, teach us to walk in faith. Lord, like Sahar was praying, teach us every day to make that choice and to draw on these characteristics of you, Lord, when we need them, because you revealed yourself for a reason to us. So Lord, when we feel weak, you are strong. When we are hopeless, you are our living hope. When we're fearful, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So Lord, in all things we'll give thanks to you. And we cast our cares on you, Lord. And you promise the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what we receive from you today, Lord. And we pray over this community for them to walk in it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Powerful, anointed. Thank you. Thank you both so much. That was just awesome. I just encourage you, come this afternoon, 4 o'clock, Bishop. It's going to be amazing. We're just going to glory to glory. And so, Father, we just thank you for this day. Holy Spirit, I just pray, seal this word in our hearts. I pray, seal it in this atmosphere, in the ground, God. And I pray, Lord, may it bear much fruit. May it bear much fruit in our marriages, Lord, in our children's lives, in this church, God. We want to bear fruit for you. And so we just bless your name today. We thank you so much for the word and for the worship. And we love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. If you need any prayer for anything, come on up. Otherwise, we will see you at 4, or we'll see you next weekend. God bless.